Vaping and e-cigarettes is a conversation that has been growing over the past couple of years, especially since the government introduced tough vape laws, which has caused an increase in black market and online sale of vapes. New research from Curtin University has looked into online retailers and the misleading methods they use to entice potential buyers. Lead researcher Professor Jonine Jancy from Curtin University joins us this morning to tell us more. Thank you for joining me on The Record.
Oh, nice to be here, Fiona.
So how did this research into online retailing of e-cigarettes come about?
We've been looking at this area since about 2015. And as you probably know, this is a very new product. It was only introduced to the US market in 2007. Australia has a very precautionary approach to e-cigarettes or vapes. And it's illegal to sell or possess nicotine vapes in Australia. Yet we're seeing, as you know, a dramatic increase in use, particularly among young people. Also, I suppose the other thing is Australia was trying to control vapes and access to vapes by their prescription scheme, which was managed by the TGA, which allowed nicotine products to be accessed via a prescription-only scheme. And this was for people who were trying to quit, not for new users. Yet we were seeing an increased prevalence of vaping. So we wanted to consider another avenue around how are people getting these vapes when it's actually illegal to sell or possess them. So we knew there were online retailers, so we decided to investigate that area.
Yeah, so you studied 20 retail websites, both from Australia and New Zealand. Can you tell us what you were looking for while looking at these websites?
Okay, so we wanted to look at Australia and New Zealand because Australia and New Zealand have very different environments. So as I said, we have a very precautionary approach, whereas in New Zealand, the products are more readily available. We wanted to compare these two environments regarding their retail, online retail sales. So what we found when we looked at it, we wanted to assess their product range, access and marketing claims. And what we found that there is an extensive range of products on both Australian and New Zealand websites, as in all the different ranges from disposables to pod-based products and even starter kits, how to get started with a range of products. There were over 1,000 flavoured e-liquid or e-juice flavours, and most of these e-liquids contain nicotine. May I say that there were more nicotine available products on the New Zealand websites compared to the Australian websites. Most of the retailers offered price discounts, free delivery, and interestingly, the age verification processes were very loose in that all you had to do was click a button and say, I'm 18 years old, and you could go ahead and buy a product. There were also these unsubstantiated health claims and cessation claims used to promote the products. Would you like me to give you some examples?
Yes, that would be great. Thank you, if you could.
Okay. So these were the ones that particularly appealed to me. This is the first one. You'll feel your breathing improve in a matter of days. Or if you're vaping high-quality tested liquids, then you can be puffing on zero carcinogens. So, okay, these are false claims because we know there are harmful chemicals in vaping products. Quite recently, the Chemical Notification Scheme reported that in aerosols, even in non-nicotine vaping products, there are over 300 different chemicals and contaminants which are potentially harmful. In addition, many of the flavouring compounds currently used in these products, in the e-liquids, such as tutti frutti or chocolate flavour, they might be safe for ingestion, but they're not safe for inhalation or haven't been proved to be safe for inhalation. The other one which struck me, another marketing claim, was most popular, e-cigarettes are most popular and most effective age for quitting smoking in Australia and other Western countries. Well, in Australia, there is no product, vaping product, that has been approved by the TGA for safety, quality and efficacy for cessation of smoking. And in addition, there are very mixed results regarding the effectiveness of these products as a cessation for smoking. And in addition, there are lots of alternatives, such as lozenges and gums and patches. Mm. And, of course, they use the old kind of sex cells. They look sleek and stylish. Some people say that they vape because they are sexy. Well, this is reminiscent. These kind of marketing claims are reminiscent of the golden days of the cigarette industry in the 60s, 70s, prior to legislation being introduced to stop that kind of marketing.
You're listening to On the Record. We're joined by Professor Janine Jancy from Curtin University, discussing a study on online sellers of e-cigarettes. So from these main findings, how concerning were they?
To me, the idea of it's cowboy country out there, as in it seems to be unmonitored, uncontrolled. These online retailers seem to be able to say pretty much whatever they would like to say. And as I said, it's reminiscent of the golden days of the cigarette industry, or sale of cigarettes.
And with the companies putting these false health claims on their sites, what are the dangers of them doing so?
I think it's misinforming people. People can only make informed decisions if they're given the correct information. And so although the public health area is trying to put out evidence-based information to inform people about the dangers of vaping, it's being blocked by this messaging that has no evidence and is simply being used to promote products, to increase companies, the industry's reach, and ultimately increase their profits.
And now we've both mentioned Australia has precautionary laws when it comes to the selling and purchasing of vapes, e-cigarettes, where you have to have a prescription if you want to buy nicotine-based products. How does that go for the online? Do you have to provide a certificate, or are they just able to get by that law because it's online and harder to police?
Well, I recently went online and to check that very thing, to see if it had been implemented quite recently, that I could easily buy nicotine e-liquid without a prescription. So obviously it's not being policed. I mean, say it's an illegal activity and then you have to import it. And if it gets caught at the border, then you're in trouble. But it's still going on. There's still an ability for people to order these products online.
And the thing with it ordering online, it means it's open to a lot more people able to buy it, including young children. Is that partially the reason why vaping is on the rise with the younger audience?
Look, I think I can't say it's all the reason, but potentially it's another avenue for young people to purchase products. You know, we know that the use of e-cigarettes in 14 to 17-year-olds has doubled since 2013 and tripled among 18 to 24-year-olds. And even a recent study in Victoria found that of the 300,000 current e-cigarette users, more than half are under 30. So there is a lot of purchasing occurring somewhere, and one would think that it would be occurring online as well, particularly when you think all it requires someone under the age of 18 to access these products is to click on a button and state, yes, I am 18.
And unfortunately, that's one of the things which has been around for a long time. It's only just a matter of clicking a button or putting in a false birth date to easily get around those functions.
Yeah, it is. And I understand it's a challenging area, but one that needs to be considered.
So why do you think some of this marketing of e-cigarettes is largely aimed at a younger audience?
So the tobacco industry, which is largely in the vaping area, they've moved in there as another revenue opportunity. They claim that these products have been developed as a harm minimisation approach for those people addicted to cigarettes so they can move on to vaping products and reduce harm. Yet, if you think about tobacco companies and their drivers or their aim is to increase products. And how do you increase their profits? How do you increase profits? By reaching new markets, developing a new market which is addicted to nicotine and therefore increasing revenue.
Yeah, I definitely feel like even though the city in Perth City is technically a smoke-free zone, I am seeing when I walk through a lot of people either vaping, and especially younger people younger than me, are vaping. Not many cigarettes nowadays.
No. Australia really reduced. We're world leaders in tobacco control, and our smoking rates were around 11-12%. And so to see this new product that essentially operates in the same way, delivering nicotine to people to make so that they become addicted to the product and become a lifetime customer is really disappointing.
So what can be done to address the online selling of e-cigarettes?
Look, it is a challenging area, but I believe our study highlights the need to introduce policies to curb these identified marketing strategies and claims. These strategies might include the prohibiting of marketing strategies such as even price discounts, free shipping, loyalty programs, some kind of more rigorous standardized online verification process. And there needs to be regular auditing of these online retailers to ensure that these marketing claims are reduced, and if they are carrying them out, that there's some kind of fine associated with making these unsubstantiated claims. The other thing is, which is a bit out of the realm, is also increasing resources around border control. So when these products are potentially ordered, then they can be identified and intercepted.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on The Record this morning and telling us more about the research you've done into online retailers of e-cigarettes and how we can try to better manage online sales.
Thanks, Fiona. Pleasure.
Thank you. That was Professor Jonine from Curtin University, lead researcher of a new study looking into misleading methods used by online sellers of e-cigarettes, looking specifically at Australian and New Zealand stores, seeing the kinds of products that they sell, majority of them including nicotine, despite with Australia at least our very tough laws when it comes to purchasing nicotine included infused products. You need a doctor's certificate for that one. And also how some of them had misleading health claims like no carcinogens or it will improve your breathing in a matter of days. Very interesting research coming out of Curtin University when it comes to vaping. Very interested to see where this goes over the next year or so, if we'll see our laws slightly altered to make it easier for people who are trying to use it as a smoking cessation tool. I'd love to know your thoughts on this topic. You can send me a text on 0405 921 921 or you can email in at studio@rtrfm.com.au.